This is the Morning Report for Monday, May 17th at Marketplace.org. Greece's prime minister says he hasn't ruled out legal action against U.S. investment banks for allegedly making the Greek debt crisis worse. Marketplace's European Bureau Chief Stephen Beard joins us live with our global perspective. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Bill.
What exactly is Prime Minister Papandreou saying here?
Well, he hasn't actually spelt out the details. He said that a parliamentary inquiry in Greece will investigate whether there's been fraud and lack of transparency by banks, which made the Greek debt crisis worse. Now, it's not clear whether he's talking about allegations that Goldman Sachs helped a previous Greek government hide the scale of its debts, or whether he's talking about banks speculating against Greek government bonds and in that way damaging confidence in Greece.
So hiding debt, speculating on debt, is there any merit to either of those charges?
Well, lawyers would have to look at the specific charges, but I think it's fair to make a general observation about Greece, about some of the other countries in the Eurozone. They have an absolutely schizophrenic attitude to markets. They very much blame the markets and the speculators for the trouble they're in, but on the other hand, they expect the markets to lend them the enormous sums of money they need to pay for their public spending. And it's also worth noting that we haven't seen speculators dumping German government bonds lately, or Swiss government bonds. Fiscally prudent governments are not getting hammered.
Yes, Marketplace's Stephen Beard, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure, Bill.
Now, as for preventing the next European debt crisis, well, the Germans have some thoughts about that. Eurozone finance ministers are meeting in Brussels today, and Germany is expected to push for stricter rules on how Eurozone countries balance their budgets. The BBC's Rebecca Singer reminds us fiscal discipline is something Germany is famous for.
Countries aren't exactly known for balancing their budgets. Just look at Greece's debt crisis. But now Germany wants that to change by forcing Eurozone members to significantly limit the deficits they run up each year. Michael Hughes is an independent economist and says it's urgently needed.
In order to contain the situation, there has to be a almost federal fiscal framework that reinforces the standing of the euro in the global marketplace.
Germany passed a stringent law last year to put the brakes on its own debt, and it wants to be sure its European neighbours are being equally tough. Michael Hughes thinks the eurozone could learn something from the US, where most states aren't allowed to run annual deficits.
There is federal spending and control, but equally there is state spending and control.
The problem is many governments may think the German proposals would be too difficult to implement. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
Also facing the challenge of budget balancing, American cities and states. In Arizona, tomorrow voters will decide whether to add a penny to the sales tax to bring in some revenue. Reporter Mark Brody at KJZZ in Phoenix says the measure has the state's business community split.
Arizona's children share one need, a great education.
At the very end of that commercial supporting the tax increase, you see the names of the groups that have contributed to the campaign. First on the list, the Arizona Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Glenn Hammer is the group's president and CEO.
Our opinion is that the sales tax is the least painful way to raise a sizable piece of revenue.
Hammer says if the state makes too many more cuts to its budget, it could be difficult to attract new businesses to Arizona. State officials estimate the tax increase would bring in about $1 billion a year over the next 3 years. Two-thirds of the money would go to education. But Farrell Quinlan says raising taxes won't help his members. He's state director of the National Federation of Independent Business.
Our businesses and our folks are small enough to fail. And we hear the rhetoric on the other side where failure is not an option. Well, it's been an option for 300,000 Arizonans. They've lost their jobs. They've lost their homes.
Even many supporters of the tax increase, like Todd Sanders, wish it hadn't come to this. He's president and CEO of the Greater Phoenix Chamber of Commerce.
No one likes a sales tax increase or any kind of tax increase. We've already cut $2 billion out of the budget. We need to have a level set state government.
The difference of opinion within the business community is not lost on those involved. The Arizona Chamber's Glenn Hammer says the groups tend to agree on issues 90 to 95% of the time, and that their disagreement on the tax proposal, known as Proposition 100, is a sign of how big this issue is. Farrell Quinlan says when he polled the small business owners he represents, 71% opposed the increase.
The business community has a it'd be fair to say, a nuanced position. And the support that they're showing is always conditioned on not making the problem worse. I think Prop 100 makes the problem worse.
State lawmakers have already approved $800 million worth of spending cuts that would go into effect if voters say no to the tax increase. In Phoenix, I'm Mark Brody for Marketplace.
A tiny clinical trial has sparked hope in terminal cancer patients. Researchers found that a generic drug called DCA could slow brain tumors. More trials are needed to prove the drug is safe for cancer patients, but the money for those studies might have to come from Joe Public, as Janet Babin tells us.
Pharmaceutical companies routinely spend more than $1 billion to bring a new drug to market. Drug patents help them recoup their investment, giving them a temporary monopoly. But DCA is a cheap generic that's been around for more than 30 years. The patent's long gone. Companies have no economic incentive to study its potential to fight cancer. So Dr. Evangelos Mihalakis, a professor at the University of Alberta, set up a website to fund his research through public donations.
We had people that sent a $10 check. And we had people that sent $3,000 check from Siberia, New Zealand, Africa, South America, the States.
The study cost about $1 million. Mihalakis says donations paid for 90% of it. He's asking the public to fund a second, larger clinical trial. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And finally, if you're a fan of NBC's hit show The Office, can you imagine life without Michael Scott? Actor Steve Carell has said he expects to leave the show after next season. Now the media news site Deadline.com quotes an NBC executive as saying The Office is an ensemble show and the show will go on even without this man.
I saved a life. My own. Am I a hero? I really can't say, but yes.
Good luck with that, NBC. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
New electric cars are gearing up to hit the roads. The cars are ready. The drivers are ready. Question is, are cities ready to plug them in?
We actually skinned some knees in the 90s, and one of them was that every different vehicle back then used a different type of connector for the charger. And that was, as you might imagine, a royal pain.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, charging ahead with electric cars next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.